A very warm welcome to all of you and good day to you. We are going to be beginning our new subject on managing IT projects. I am Professor Sagar Narasimhan, and it's my privilege to take you through the modules that we have under this subject. I hope it will be an interesting journey for you in trying to understand the nuances and the elements of what constitutes managing IT projects. Let's begin with the first chapter, which is looking at projects overview, basic concepts and definitions of things involved in project management, and then proceed on to the subsequent chapters. What are our key learning objectives of this chapter? With this chapter, we are trying to address and understand A, what is a project? B, why do we need to learn project management as a specific science or a specific methodology? Thirdly, why do projects fail? Four, what is a project life cycle? Five, what are the peculiarities of software projects that make them stand apart or create different kinds of challenges in implementing them? What is a project charter, which is a sixth item of our learning objective? Then how is financial evaluation of projects done? What are project goals, stakeholders, who are the stakeholders, what are the risks and resources required? And what are project cost planning, execution and tracking methodologies? So with this broad charter and with this broad scope, let us jump into the details of the chapter and understand what are projects. Now, projects typically create two kinds of outputs. The first output is in terms of deliverables, which is the tangible output that the project delivers, like content, software, guidelines, etc. In addition to deliverables, there is knowledge and experience, which is the less tangible part of the project or of the project, which should be documented and shared with the customer and the project managers and the wider community. As a result of this knowledge and experience, you will develop what are called project documents and submit these to the end user. These are part of the project planning and monitoring process, but don't need to be listed as a part of the project output section of the project plan. So we have two kinds of outputs. One is the key deliverables that the project has in mind. Number two, knowledge and experience. Of course, there might be project planning documents or project plan, etc., which you do not have to submit at the completion of the project, because then their objective is or their purpose is over. Now, deliverables. What are the kind of deliverables we are looking at in a project? Typically, when one starts a project, or before one starts a project, one should make a list of all the project deliverables that are there, possibly using the checklist that is given below, and include them in the project plan. So what are typical examples of project deliverables? Okay, it could be examples could be case studies, license agreements with customer, with vendors and suppliers. It could be reports, it could be technical manuals, it could be methods, scenario building, model software, training packages, tutorials, pilot services or piloting and demos that have been done, users interfaces, guidelines, prototypes, technical design and user manual. So these are typical kind of project deliverables that you may have, which you may want to include as a part of your project plan. The second one is the knowledge and experience. Now think, every project that you work on or every project your company works on or every project that your company gets generates domain knowledge and expertise, okay, and experience. All the knowledge and experience that you will develop in the course of doing the project, of implementing the project, can also be shared in a tangible form. You may want to write a case study, you may want to create documents related to the software that you have developed, or if you have, for example, done an electrical project, You may want to do, you know, the line drawings of the electrical project, etc. You may want the final project, final report to share the work with the community, and you may want to even use this at conferences and use these case studies to understand what is happening. For example, if you look at this table on your screen right now, this is a project deliverable checklist. So, for example, you may have a complete checklist, all the project deliverables. You may have case studies, you may have license agreements, reports, technical manuals, scenarios, methods, demonstrations, models, the softwares used, training packages. All these, all the things that are listed in the table below are typical examples of project deliverables. Now, let us go and understand what is a project. How do we define or how do we understand a project? Okay. So, any human activity that involves doing what is a non-repetitive activity. So, a non-repetitive activity, a developmental activity that you do for once and then use the output of that developmental activity for a longer period of time is typically called a project. So, for example, if you are building a bridge, then that is a project. Once the bridge is built, it can be used for the next, you know, 25, 30, 40, 50 years without any problem. But building the bridge is a one-time activity, a non-repetitive activity, and therefore it's called a project. All of us take part in different projects. I mean, even at the smallest level, even school children have projects. I mean, they may be participating in, say, a school concert, or they may be participating in a music program in school, or they may be having a sports, or they may be going for a picnic, and these are all projects in some way for them. Other individuals, families, etc., all of us have projects. So, in some way or the other, we all are project managers, and we all have some non-repetitive activities that happen in our lives. But there is a big difference in carrying out a very simple project involving one or two people compared with one involving a complex mix of people, organizations, and tasks. So, for example, organizing a school picnic is a project which has only few people involved in planning the project. So, it's very simple to do. But if you have to build an airport, or you have to build a bridge, or you want to build a software project, or you develop a software solution for something, requires involvement of hundreds of people, may require involvement of multiple organizations through vendors and partners who may be associated with this project, interacting with government agencies and regulatory agencies for that project to be done, thereby making this whole process very complex and difficult to handle and manage. So, this is what is the difference between a simple project and a bigger or a larger complex project. Now, going back again, continuing our journey into the understanding of the word project, the art of planning for the future, or the human beings are always constantly looking at planning something for the future. So, by the end of the day, we will be planning for tomorrow. By the end of the week, we will be planning for the next week. Some of you could be planning for the next quarter. Some of you could be planning for the next 6 months. There is some futuristic based planning activity always going on with each and every human. A project, therefore, is usually defined as a set of activities that uses different resources, in terms of people, in terms of money, in terms of equipment, in terms of raw material, in terms of energy, in terms of space, in terms of design, in terms of domain knowledge and understanding, communication, quality level, risk, etc., to meet predefined objectives. So, every project will have a predefined objective. Say, for example, if you are developing a payroll solution for your company, then that will have a set of predefined objectives. Objectives are quantified, quantified pieces of this thing of what this project is. It will define what the project is likely to achieve and by when. all objectives follow, which is, you know, we have the SMART objectives, which is S standing for specific, be as specific as you can be in defining the objective, M stands for being measurable, quantify the objective, it should be quantified to enable us to understand it well. Then A stands for achievable, ensure that the objective is achievable. R stands for realistic, we should be able to do it within realistic time frames and realistic budgets, and then it should be time bound. An objective without a time is considered to be a statement of intent rather than an objective. So a project can therefore be characterized by, or the project can therefore have the following characteristics. Number one, it is a one-time non-repetitive activity. So it doesn't repeat again and again. You may have a similar project, but it will have its own level of challenges and different levels of customization. Two, where the activity is repetitive, each product or service is delivered in a large volume in terms of magnitude, cost or resource mobilization, it doesn't stand out as a big project. Okay, every project has something unique about it, okay, which requires thorough planning, which requires a different thought process, which may require a different approach, a different methodology of solving it. Okay, a project may have a single primary objective, which are achieved by doing a number of tasks which could be unique, which can have multiple objectives and are interrelated to each other in some way. Different resources, different skills are employed for completion of projects. All projects will have objectives, scope, schedule, costs, deadlines and budgets. These are the characteristics of a project. A project can be captured on paper with a few details. So one could be the name of the project, two could be the broad objectives of what the project is expected to achieve, third could be a start date, fourth could be an end date, then there could be items that relate to the tasks that have to be carried out in connection with the project and when they should be finished, some idea of the costs and some idea of the resources that will be needed during the course of implementing this project. So this could be, you know, a nutshell, giving you a bird's eye view or giving you a summary of what the project can do. Related to project is the art and science of project management, which is the discipline of organizing all the resources and managing all the resources in such a way that the project is completed both within time and cost constraints, or both within time and cost budgets. And of course achieve the defined quality of the project. A project, by contrast, as I said, is a one-time activity and it's an endeavor to create something unique, something different, something customized, something very useful to the citizens or to the employees or to the country or to the organization, and creates a change or added value. This property of being temporary and one-time makes projects unique. Because it is temporary and one-time activity, it requires a different set of skills and a different mindset to handle projects compared to processes and operations which are permanent or semi-permanent, ongoing, functional work which is repetitive in nature, creates the same kind of product or creates the same kind of manufacturing output hour by hour, day by day, week by week, compared to a project whose output can be different hour by hour, day by day, week by week. The management of these two systems, which is process and operations, compared to projects, is completely different, and therefore this necessitates the understanding of what is project management, the study of project management, and also the development of project management as a science or a tool for enhancing our ability to deliver or implement projects over a period of time. So, going further into the challenges of project management, the key challenges that every project has and normally faces in the course of its implementation is first, is how can we deliver the project within the defined constraints. Typically, these constraints are time and cost. Okay. The second, which is the more difficult challenge or the more ambitious challenge, is how can we have optimal allocation of all the inputs that the project requires such that we are able to deliver the project with minimum input and at the fastest speed so that it meets our predefined objectives of time, cost and quality. So these are the typical challenges of project management. Now project management as a science has developed from different fields of application, the foremost among them being construction, engineering and defense. In the United States, the forefather of project management, the founder of project management, Henry Grant, is known to be the initial originator of the idea of planning and control techniques. Now he was the first person, he's actually well known for the bar chart, which he used as a project management tool for measuring its success and monitoring its progress. Now Henry Grant is an associate of Frederick Winslow Taylor, the father of all scientific theories or the founder of all scientific theories of management, and for his study on the work and management of Navy shipbuilding. His work is the forerunner to many modern management projects, including what is called the work breakdown structure and resource allocation methodology that is used in modern software management, software projects. Coming back to the history of project management, how has project management evolved over a period of time? So if we have to look in, go back, we go to the 1950s, where the beginning of project management, modern project management as we have understood it today as an art and science, started developing. Prior to 1950 in the United States or in and some countries of Europe, projects were managed on an ad hoc basis, mostly using Gantt charts and informal techniques and tools that were evolved, or they were improvised depending on the needs and requirements of every specific project. In that time of 1950s, two mathematical scheduling models were developed. The first one was called Project Evaluation and Review Techniques, or which is typically called PERT, developed by the US Navy and the Lockheed Corporation, which were jointly working on the Polaris missile submarine program. So simultaneously, there was another method that came in called the Critical Path Method, which was developed jointly by DuPont Corporation and Remington Rand for managing what is called plant maintenance projects. Now these two methods, PERT, CPM, the words were also taken, the short forms or the acronyms for program evaluation and review technique, which was modified later to be project evaluation and review technique, and critical path method, became very popular and spread quickly to the rest of the industry or to the other companies. In 1969, the Project Management Institute was formed at the University of Georgia to be a non-profit organization to serve the interests of the project management industry. Now, the Project Management Institute was conceptualized with the objective of being the fountainhead of all the knowledge and understanding of project management we have today, okay, to identify tools and techniques of project management and to develop the science of project management over a period of time through research, through better methods and through better techniques. The basic background of the Project Management Institute was that though industry to industry the projects could be different, the methods of managing the project, methods of implementing the project could be the same, will be the same irrespective of whether the project is from defense or from civil construction or from the software industry. In 1981, the Project Management Institute Board of Directors authorized the development of what has today become or what is today called the Project Management Body of Knowledge, PMBOK, which contains all the standards and guidelines of practice that are widely used in the profession of project management by project management professionals. Okay, so let's go through the Project Management Institute definitions. The first one is PMBOK, which stands for Project Management Body of Knowledge, as defined by the Project Management Institute, is all the is the application of knowledge, skills, tools, techniques, processes and methodologies to project management activities to achieve the pre-specified project requirements. That is PMBOK. Then PRINCE, P-R-I-N-C-E, stands for the project management methodology, is the planning, monitoring and control of all aspects of project, as well as the motivation of all those involved in trying to achieve the project objectives on time and within specified cost, quality and performance parameters. Then the next one is DIN 69901, which is basically Deutsche Institute für Normung, which is the German Organization for Standardization, which says that project management is a complete set of tasks and techniques and tools applied during the execution of any project. Typical examples of projects could be construction of a bridge, making of ships, aircrafts or spacecrafts, constructing a new building, launching a new or your career, developing a new product in a company, setting up a new website, public issue of shares or a initial public offering, as it's called an IPO. All these are examples of projects. A very quick look at why do projects fail. Now, a project is considered to be a failure if it fails to achieve some or all of its basic purpose and objectives. So, if it fails to achieve its objectives, it is normally considered to be a failure, or it exceeds the required time frame, or gets completed with excessive resources and costs, or keeps dragging to such an extent that the management aborts it midway. So, any of these reasons could be defined or could create what we call a failure of the project. Now, project failures are common in the software and IT industry, are common in the media and entertainment industry due to new and emerging technology with high risks and also inability of the users and developers to understand each other over a period of time. Key reasons for failure. The first, very, very simple and straightforward, is unclear project goals. So, if the deliverables are not clear, then the person who is working on the project is not sure about what the user or the customer actually wants from the project. Two is lack of top management commitment. When the higher management and senior management of the company do not or give sufficient commitment and resources for the project, it may be doomed to failure. The third one is lack of user involvement and commitment. So, sometimes the projects could be for specific departments or people people within the company who may not be interested in using a solution or may not be interested in the project. Then fourth, new technical or business areas. So, if you are getting into a new business or a technical area whose benefits are not clearly understood or not clearly articulated, or it is an uncharted territory, the project may fail. Then failure to grasp the ecosystem of the stakeholders can also lead to the failure of the project. Project managers and project management professionals must understand these factors before they start the project and do what is called a possible failure analysis so that they are clear that if this happens, the project is likely to fail. How can they prevent the failure of the project much before they begin the implementation? Key concepts of project management or key elements of a project plan. The first one, of course, is the project charter. The second one is a business case or a feasibility study. The third one is the scope statement or what is called the terms of reference. What is the reference that terms of reference or this thing have? What is the scope of work? Fourth one is the project management plan or the project initiation document. Fifth one is the work breakdown structure. The sixth one is the change control plan. Seventh one is a risk management plan. Eighth is the communications plan. Nine is the governance model. 10 is a risk register. 11 is the issue log. 12th is the action item list. 13 is the resource management plan. 14 is the project schedule. 15 is the status report defining the review process. Then we have 16, which is the responsibility assignment matrix. 17 is a list of all the risks or risk management. 18 is a database of lessons learned. And 19 is the stakeholder analysis. So these are the typical concepts that are related to project management. Let's look at some of these areas. We will look at some of these areas as we move along in this subject. Now, another thing related to projects that we need to understand is the project life cycle. Now, there are different projects. Projects could be of different types, different kinds. They could be from different industries. They could be for different purposes. They may have different objectives. However, all projects have a life cycle. The life cycle of the project typically tries to capture the journey of the project from the start to the end. That is what we typically say is the project life cycle. Okay? So we may have, as I said, different kinds of projects, multiple projects, and these could be different. Like a construction project could be different from a software project, could be different from a BPO project, and so on and so forth. It is therefore very important to understand the key elements of the project and what is going to impact the implementation as well as the success of the project. Thus, the project life cycle is typically a series of steps that are needed to be taken to manage the project to successful completion or successful end. Many times, alternative project life cycles could be developed for the same project or different projects in the same business or vertical or segment. And they could have different methodologies of therefore doing it. Let's take, for example, a project which is typically involved in a new product development. So this is one project many companies undertake when they want to develop and start new products. So for example, the steps involved in a new product development starts with idea generation. Now this is the stage at which the organization ideates what could be the possible products it could introduce in the market. Let's say the company comes up with a list of 5, 10, 15 different ideas of different products it could introduce in the market. Obviously, it cannot introduce all the products. Therefore, it goes through a stage of what is called idea screening. Now, at the idea screening stage, the company tries to get into details of these 10, 15 products that it has identified, trying to understand the potential of the market, trying to understand the possible growth each of these products could, you know, contribute to the company's top line and bottom line. It may look at customers who may be using these products. It may look at the market from another point of view to see how competitive the market for each of these products is. And based on a specific certain criteria, it may try to, prioritize or get a list of projects or products with a priority from 1 to 10. So the first product that is there, the hot product, is then goes into the project planning stage as to what will the company do to develop the product, how will the company develop this product, what are the steps it is going to take in the product development. The next thing is the product development process, where the company goes down, develops the product, does research. The marketing guys do the marketing research, the R&D does the technical research, and it results in the development of what we call a prototype. This prototype is then taken to the market to test with customers to get their feedback and analysis, whether they like this product, is this product going to add value to them, is it useful for them. And then after the test marketing is successful, the final commercialization of the new product happens. So this could be a one typical life cycle. In this case, this is a new product development cycle. This is how the steps are involved, just as an example. So project life cycle, from an understanding perspective, A is very, very important. There, as we said, may have alternative approaches to the same project, and therefore you may want to study those. To understand the, we must understand the project life cycle for different business domains. As I just demonstrated, one for a new product. Somewhere as we move along in managing IT projects, we will do a software development life cycle. Different life cycle methodologies are available to software professionals to manage their projects. The third thing is to select an appropriate project life cycle within the domain that possibly gives us the most the most easy chance or the best chance of successful completion of this project that we are talking of. Now let us try and understand what are the peculiar aspects or differentiating factors of a typical IT project or a software project. The first thing about an IT project or a software project is, of course, they are very difficult to understand. Why? Because the user many times has no idea or does not have an ability to see what the IT project can deliver to him. The limited understanding of what the IT project or the vision of what the IT project can deliver sometimes reduces or comes in the way of a successful project implementation of an IT project. Two, it is many times difficult to determine at which stage of development or completion the project is. We don't know, many times the scope of work keeps changing so much that what could be at the at the midway of the project when it suddenly slipped down to just being about 10-15% of the total project that has to be achieved. There is a difficulty in testing the IT projects completely. So some part of it can be tested, but all parts of it cannot be easily tested. Technology. What are the different technology options? What could be its potential and impact on the business is not easy to assess. And the IT people or the IT and the software engineers are not in a position to speak the language of business and talk to the business people in a way they understand it. Now, technical people and the technical persons and knowledge workers in this industry typically use a language which is not understood by the user or the customers or the business heads, creating confusion, poor clarity, and lack of clear understanding on what could be the project deliverables. Estimation of complexity, effort, and time in the software and IT sector is a big gray area. Customers themselves are not very clear about the potential of IT and the key deliverables. In addition to these insinuating factors or these factors, there are other things that add to the complexity. One could be user experience with similar technology. So the user is experienced in a particular technology, then he insists on what capability the and software solution should deliver to him. Developers' experience with this technology to be used in developing the software. Geographical spread of the organization. Integration issues with other legacy systems and older applications and other IT systems the customer is already using. Compatibility with existing technologies and platforms, we don't know. Security issues and policies. Then software design by itself is ambiguous. For any application, for any type of end-use application, multiple methods, technologies, software languages, and design options are available. The software developer himself has many times a difficulty in choosing, let alone the user and the people who don't understand it. For them, it is how difficult this could be in making a decision on this parameter. Then the next factor is the operating conditions under which the IT solution is expected to work also varies widely. Example, attendance systems used in factory with workers might require smart card badges to be kept in heat, sun and dust near the gate of the factory, while the same attendance system designed for, say, a media and entertainment company or people who work in an office would involve operating the system and smart cards in a dust-free, air-conditioned environment. So the operating conditions of both these software systems are complete, or both these software applications are completely different. Another example could be a software designed for 50,000 transactions would be completely different from that which handles a million transactions. Then software languages have multiple options. You could have client-server applications using Visual Basic could provide different features from, say, Java-based applications. So you have multiple options over there. Both Visual Basic and Java applications could have different developmental efforts and different maintenance challenges. Features, user experience, complexity, effort vary considerably with technology, with choice of software language and end-use application. Software development is highly labor-oriented and requires high level of cognitive skills and complex processing capabilities. Ability to visualize the software code, software solution, code the same, or you know, do a system analysis of the same, then code the same depending on the skills and experience of the people, their understanding of the customer's domain and the customer's industry, and the developmental tools available at their place of work, motivation, etc., vary widely across different organizations. Process maturity is another element adding a level of uncertainty to IT projects. The capability maturity model that has been evolved for software companies emphasizes that IT companies need to have mature software development processes and systems which can deliver software of consistent quality within time and cost constraints. However, even though India has the largest number of CMM level 5 companies in the world, the complexity of managing an IT project has not got reduced or has not become easier for any of the stakeholders involved in the process. Testing of software projects is another area of concern. Testing means validation and verification that the software developed will deliver the desired outcome. Okay? Now, this is a serious business, and given the viability associated with the development of the software project, this is many times difficult to understand that whether even the tested software will deliver the outcome. There have been situations when software has delivered the, under test condition, it has delivered the outcome correctly, but when installed at the user site, has not been able to deliver or give the or achieve its promise. Now coming to project management activities, which is the next subsection under this chapter. Now, project management activities consists of several things like, you know, this definition and planning or defining the objectives of the project. Two is allocating the work, planning the work, then the analysis and design of the project, assessing and controlling the risk, eliminating or estimating resources, allocation of resources to the right job, then organizing the work, acquiring human and material resources, assigning tasks, directing activities, and controlling the project execution. Then, tracking and reporting the progress of the project, analyzing the results based on facts achieved, defining the products of the outcomes of the project, forecasting the future trends of the project, quality management, issue resolution, defect prevention, project closure meeting and communication to the stakeholders of the project. So these are a number of activities that we are typically involved in the project management activity. Now, one of the key tools that is used for project management is called the work breakdown structure or the WBS. Now, a product, project delivers a product or a service, and it is successful when it delivers the desired outcome or when the set objective is achieved. The work breakdown structure is a method considered by many as one of the important tools of project management. It is basically breaking up the project into logical subparts or sub-projects that can be used to create the entire project as a whole. So the logic is to break the project down into very, very small doable components, and each component as it is completed is then integrated to the entire project. Now the work breakdown structure is defined as a hierarchical tree structure from generic to specific of deliverables of tasks that need to be performed to complete the project. If we take, for example, so to build, for example, each piece of a component of the project needs execution of steps, and each of these steps are called tasks. Now, sequence of tasks in the project is also important. Some tasks can only be undertaken if some other task has been completed, and this is known as task dependency. So, the start of one task may depend on the completion of a prior task. For the task to be completed, one needs resources such as people, material, and time. Each task requires some man hours for completion, which is called duration of the task. Duration can be increased or reduced by adding more resources or reducing resources or increasing automation or using better tools and methodologies or using automation. So that's how we have a product perspective to the work breakdown structure. Now, how does the product perspective, product-based work breakdown structure work? So, for example, if you take an aircraft system, let us say you're building an aircraft system at the level 1, which is the objective. Now, at the level 2, you break this aircraft system into various sub-parts or sub-components. So, there's an air vehicle, there's an SC program management, there's a system test and, evaluation, training, data, peculiar support equipment, common support equipment, or operations and site activation, industrial facilities, and all these things. Under this, all what are required is mentioned. So what are you trying to do is break this aircraft system into specific activities that can be done by different departments to be able to create this whole system. Now, the work breakdown structure that we use in software follows a similar method that we have used for a product. Now, instead of aircraft system, this could be an automobile system. It could be a car. It could be a truck that the company is building. And that car or truck could be broken down into different activities.